Just before the kids take off, where Christian there is, Lindsay is around. We don't like what God does all the time. In fact, I have some strong disagreements with him, and we have some very honest discussions every now and then about how he just gets it wrong every now and then. And one of those is Christian and Lindsay Driscoll heading to Colorado. But he often overrides me usually and says, I know what I'm doing. You may not like it. And we don't like it, Christian, but we're not in control. And you guys have graced us with a strong sense of God's presence through your presence here. So, and Bates, we're going to miss you guys in a big way. One of my favorite moments through the week is when I come up on Thursday mornings while the ladies' Bible study is going on, and if Bates and Gracie and Brooklyn are back there, they come running to that gate with some other kids too, and I get to have some conversation with Bates, Christian, and, well, Christian's not usually there, but Bates and Brooklyn and Gracie, and one time it was their birthdays were coming up, and Bates asked me, he says, how old are you? And I said, I'm 58. He goes, wow. So I'm gonna miss you guys, but we will not forget you, and we will continue to pray for you guys too during that time as you are making your move. So pray. You actually take off when, Christian? A week from today. They head out in the Sunday morning. So we will remember you. And thank you. So we got to be neighbors, and that was pretty special, getting to have some chats on the sidewalk too. So that was big. So all right, 12th grade. Oh, there's Lindsay back there. Lindsay and Gracie and Brooklyn. So bless you. I was talking, but we're going to miss you guys. So yeah, but 12th grade and down, you're headed out. Good. We have a shot, a picture that I want to put up. Brian has it, I think, ready. Sorry. What's that? Move. Come forward. Angela is lonely. So if you would like to give Angela some company, yes. She's feeling very, very alone up here, so that would be wonderful. So, thank you. I just wanted you to see what this place looked like just yesterday. This is an amazing, amazing scene. God put it on Kevin Schultz's heart a while back. He went to a seminar that helped sound teams do better at that, what they do in churches. And Kevin had the thought, well, why don't we host one of these deals? And it's an amazing amount, a huge amount of energy and time and effort and leadership that was put in. But just think about this. I put this up because this is core to who we are. This is core to who God has called us to be. This space isn't our space. It is his space, and it is to be used for kingdom purposes. And those purposes go outside of Christ Community Church because we're part of the kingdom, but we're certainly not the only part of the kingdom. And so this is one of those ways that our core values, what God has put in most deep in our hearts about this space, was getting fulfilled yesterday in an exciting way. And I just thought there's maybe 10 or 11 different churches represented in the kingdom here, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is probably getting heard better because these folks were in this space getting trained about how to do things better, and so words get understood and heard, and I just thought it was very significant, very important, and I really appreciated the time and effort that Kevin, Amy, you put in. As I headed out, Amy was in here vacuuming. All these chairs were removed, as you can tell, stacked up, and then all of them put back for the sake of the kingdom. Jim was here doing that. Bob and Liz, a lot of effort. Brian, saw Brian here working, putting effort into this. So really appreciated all of that. And it just was an exciting event. I want you to see that, no question. Another kingdom purpose that's very important to us is the ministry and life and the impact of another sister church in this area called J10. J10 Church is using this space in the Sunday evenings now at 5 o'clock, and we're just thrilled about that. And we're thrilled that their lead guy and his wife are here today, Will and Sandra Cravens. So we're just thrilled. Welcome. Right back over there. So Will and Sandra are tremendous people, leaders, parts of the body of Christ. Will and I are getting together, just becoming friends and getting to know each other. And Will has a long history with the likes of the Jollies and the Howards and Simmons and strong Young Life background and some other aspects of what they've been up to. And Scott, that's right. So anyway, amazing scene in Mark 1. Amazing scene. Pretty normal, but amazing. One of the great deals of life is to be able to look just below the surface of what appears to be fairly normal life and to see God showing up in some pretty amazing ways. And here we have a very normal scene. In verse 16 of Mark 1, it says that Jesus is walking beside the Sea of Galilee. Just a man taking a walk by a sea. And he comes upon Simon and his brother named Andrew, and they were just doing their day's work. They were just working. They were casting a net into the lake because they fished. Really normal. This is unspectacular in many ways. Man walking by a sea, sees a couple folks doing their day's work. And he says, something pretty normal to them too. Come. Come on, fellas, follow me. And he says, I'm going to send you out. Fish for people. And at once they left their nets and they followed him. Fairly unspectacular in some respects. Man walking by a sea, seeing a couple other men, saying, follow me. Except for the fact that this is the God of all creation. Jesus. Walking by a sea, sees Peter, Simon, Andrew. He says, I want you to come. There are four parts to this, each of which is significant and important for you and for me this morning. First is come. Jesus says to Simon and to Peter and to Andrew, Simon, Peter, and Andrew, come. It's an invitation. It demands a response. Come. But the invitation to come is to follow. Simon, Andrew, would you mimic? Walk with me. Mimic me. Later on in Mark, Mark records that Jesus called these followers, these folks, his friends, to be with him. Just to do that, to be with him. Come, follow, mimic me. Be with me. Watch how I walk through life. Just watch me and then do what I do. Follow, mimic me. Here's where this fairly unspectacular event becomes fairly amazing in some deep regards, is that same Jesus is walking and moving here today, this morning, in your life and in my life. The same dynamic is happening right here, right now. The God of all creation, Jesus, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, a friend who sticks closer than a brother, he is speaking, he is inviting you and me. He's looking us in the eye, as I hope we are at this point. And he is saying to you, come. Come. It's an invitation that requires a response. He says, come and follow me. He's speaking to you, to me. Raman, come, follow me. Carol, come, follow me. Diana, come, follow me. Rich, come, follow me. You could go through. He's speaking to every one of us in a very personal way to come and to mimic what I'm all about. Just do what I do, he says. Spend time with me and do that. He says at the end of his ministry, this was at the very beginning of his ministry. At the very end of his ministry, he says this. Don't forget, my friends, that I just rose from the dead. And because I rose from the dead, I can make this statement in Matthew 28, one of the last things he said to his followers. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them then to be obedient to everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Jesus is basically saying to you and to me, I have all the authority to direct your life. I have authority to say, come. And when Jesus says come, that comes with some authority, some right to say, this is a wise and important thing. Follow me and go live with people as you're going through your life, lovingly, intentionally, encourage them to follow me too, to be my disciples. That's all that word means. Disciple is just a follower. Making disciples is a very relational, very informal, very encouraging process. It's a very loving process. Sometimes we get spun up about making disciples, but Jesus just basically says, walk with me, see what I do, and then do that. It's relational, it's loving, it's encouraging to our friends closest to us to walk with Jesus. Do that. I have all authority, so follow. Make disciples. Baptize them. Teach them to be obedient. We're having a baptism, as Heather mentioned, in a couple weeks. That's why we do that. Jesus said that's it's an aspect of discipleship. So come, follow me. And then in Deuteronomy 6, this is in your notes. It's not in, it's from the message. This is another encouragement from Jesus through the Old Testament prophet Moses and what he writes in Deuteronomy. He says, write these commands that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you and then get them inside of your children. Talk with them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talking with them from time to time. Talk about them from time to time when you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. That's what we're to do. That's what Jesus says. I have all authority to tell you to do this. Be obedient. Take this seriously. Come. Follow me. But then what Paul does, one of his followers that came, he had the audacity to say this in 1 Corinthians, his first letter to the followers of Christ in that city. He says, I have a couple things on my mind for you. I encourage you, whether you're Jew or Greek, to follow Jesus, even as I try to follow him myself. I'm not seeking my own good. But then he says this, follow my example as I follow Christ's example. Paul's basically saying, if you want to follow Christ, I've watched him do that. I understand him. I've walked with him. Now, look at my life. And what you see in me, follow my example as I'm following the example of Christ. And then he says it again in 2 Timothy. Timothy was a son in the faith to Paul. He had a deep relationship with Timothy. Loved him all of his heart. And this is what he says to Timothy. He says, "You then, my son," a deeply affectionate term. "Timothy, I love you. So be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And Timothy, the things that you have heard and seen in me, these are the things I want you to entrust to other people, to reliable people who will be able to teach others also." This is an affectionate, strong message from Paul to Timothy. "Timothy, look at my life, and the things that you've seen and heard in me, pass on to others. This is what I want you to do." Well, this next series that we're going to spend the next several weeks on is something akin to this. I want to walk with you through some things that God has worked in my life over the last 20 years or so from my prayer journal, which is over there, which I won't take time to get. You're going to hear some of this. God's put it on my heart that when I read this, and I've been thinking about this for several months now, that when he says, "You there for my son," I'm thinking my friends here at Christ Community Church that I love deeply, that we've been able to walk together for as long as you've been here. "My friends, I want you to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say, the things you know to be true about my life, I want you to entrust them. I want to entrust them to you. And I want you to entrust them to others also." I'm thinking about 3 days. There are 3 days in your life and in my life that are deep in my heart about why I think God has put this in our front view mirror here that we're walking through these days. The first day is this, our birthday. The day that you came into existence, when you were born. You, I, we are not accidents. When we were born, there was a purpose on our life from God. And that purpose was to know Him. And not from a distant sort of knowledge, but from an intimate way. There's a great catechism of teaching. The Westminster, the shorter catechism, says this: the chief end of our lives is to glorify God and to enjoy Him. And following through what we're going to walk through for these next weeks, if you commit to it, you say, "Okay, I'm going to do this because there's an authority coming from Jesus that says this needs to be important in my life, and I will follow through. I will do this." And one of the reasons is so that I can know and enjoy the presence of God. My birthday, the purpose of my birthday will be fulfilled. There's going to be some practices and habits, perspectives that I long to see continue in your life. Some have already started, but I long to see them continue so that you can know the purpose of your birthday. The second day, though, that comes to my mind is those hard days. The days that we know are still in front of us. Very difficult days. And I know that as we commit to following through with some of what God's going to be doing in our lives through this series, those hard days are still in front of us. God's going to show up in those ways and in those days in a particular way. This past Good Friday, we had some time to think about the last statements of Jesus. And one of the statements that we talked through is the very last statement that he said was when he was on the cross, right before he breathed his last breath, he said, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." That wasn't a line that Jesus just made up at that moment. That wasn't extemporaneous speech on Jesus' part. He was quoting Psalm 31. The living, active Word of God was in his life in such a way that at his last breath, that's what came out. "Father, I'm committing my spirit into your hands. And I long for these hard days when they come and they begin to squeeze us, that there is something in us that comes out that is really important and deep and significant, reminds us of who God is. That's what I long for your hard days coming up. And the time to prepare for those hard days is today. That we begin to build into our lives patterns and disciplines and thoughts and practices so that when we get squeezed and the difficulties come, that's what comes out. That's what I've been praying for the family of Madison, small. So I've been praying for Deidre and Barbara Musselman and others in that community. Tremendously hard days. Difficult days. A day that nobody saw last week. Nobody saw this coming last Sunday. There's something there for you and for me. We don't know what life's going to look like next Sunday. We just don't know. The time to prepare for whatever those days might hold is today. And I'm convinced, and I know from my own experience, that my ability to walk through some difficult days in my past have been deeply helped by these patterns and practices that I want to entrust to you. But the third day is not our birthday, not the hard days that are coming, but that the third day is the third reason why I think you want to commit to this. You want to commit to these practices. And the third day is our last day. And that's coming. We may be surprised at that last day when it comes. We may not see it coming. It may sneak up on us. It may surprise us. On the other hand, we may see that last day coming, and it may be something that we anticipate for a period of time. But either way, when we arrive at that period of time, we're going to want something for the days that we've been on this earth. We're going to want something of a lasting, eternally significant legacy. We want that. God has worked that deep into our souls. And as we follow through, as you and I follow through on some of the patterns that I'm going to encourage us to these next series time, you will be able to look back on your life and know that God has worked something of a legacy in your life, something of an encouragement to others to follow Jesus. So what's the first practice? It's found in 2 Peter. Bill mentioned this at the beginning, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, and it simply draws from this. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and goodness. The first practice is this, that at a regular basis, pretty much every morning, at some point, we have a pattern, a habit, a discipline of calling our attention to God and who He is and the different aspects of who He is. Andrew, if you wouldn't mind taking those sheets of paper on this front seat right here and passing those out. Ramon, if you wouldn't mind taking these sheets, there's another stack right here. What's coming around right now that page you saw, I don't think we've seen it. I think it's coming up in a minute. This is a page that's been in my prayer journal for about 20 years at this point. It came from a magazine called Discipleship Journal. And what this page has is 31 different ways, 31 descriptors of the character of God. and who he is, what he's like. And according to Peter, it says that everything we need for a godly life, think about that statement one more time. There isn't anything that you and I will need to live a godly life that doesn't somehow find its way back to our understanding of who God is, what his character is like. Everything you and I need somehow has its start right here in the character of God. So the challenge for you and for me is to think about that, to meditate on that on a regular basis. So what I've done is, you can see there's 31, and for whatever day of the month it is, I just focus on that one. I think about it. It doesn't take long, but it enters my mind. And over the course of years, if I don't actually sit down and open this page, the wonderful thing is that these things start popping into my head through the day at random times. And like this morning, it's the 12th. This morning, I was just thinking about our God is the Holy One. Holy, holy, holy. You, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I just quietly sat this morning and thought for a while, especially related to Madison. The passing of this high school student, who I didn't know, has deeply impacted me this past week. I thought about her parents. I thought about her friends at school. I thought about Deidre and Barbara and other leaders and the principal and what this has meant. So I was thinking about that, but then I thought about our God is a God who is, who was, and who is to come. And all of a sudden I remembered that God is above. This circumstance didn't surprise him. He's not wringing his hands, wondering how he's going to be a faithful God to her family and to that community. Because he didn't come into existence just today. He's been around for a long, long time. He's eternal. And he will always be. And because of that, he can handle circumstances like this. And he's working. And there is a palpable sense of peace this morning in my heart as I remembered our God is holy. He was, he is to come. I can't tell you how many times I've come to the day on 27th and I needed my head lifted. How many 27ths of the month that I've been through over these last 20 years, that day was a hard day. And I got so focused sometimes on my circumstances and the challenges of my day. And my head was like this and my heart was like this until either that morning or sometime through the day, I remembered that God is the lifter of my head. And he lifts my head from the circumstances that I'm walking through, and he reminds me of who he is. And he lifts my head, and it's this gentle pressure on our chins to lift our eyes and to see him. Let's just take a moment and read through these various descriptors of our God. Let's read this together, just everyone. We're just going to walk through it. It won't take but a couple minutes. God the Creator, the only God. All right, let's pick it up a little bit. I'm not hearing anybody but myself at this point. Number three, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Ancient of Days, a loving God, a God of justice, a faithful God, a merciful God, God, my rock, my refuge, a patient, persevering God, eternal, saving God, the Holy One, a personal God, a giving God, a provider God, God, my shepherd, God, my victory. God of miracles, burden bearer. God of joy. God who answers prayer. God of all the earth. As we read those and I hear you read those, something is pretty deeply stirred in me. A couple things. One, memories. Memories of time with God. Him reminding me of this. Helping me through days. I think it's stirred too because I so long for you to know that. Many of you already do. Let me tell you that. That assumption is, this is not starting from scratch for many of you. God's going to take wherever you are right now in your journey with Him, wherever you are, and He can take you and He can begin to work in you who He is. And so at the beginning of your days, as you walk through some very challenging days, more challenging than I can ever imagine, that you will have a clear, distinct memory and knowledge of who your God is as you walk through your day. So I encourage you this week, tomorrow, 13, personal God, early on in your day, spend some time just thinking, what does it mean God is a personal God? And if you notice the phrases beyond the big phrases are prayers. Just simple one-line prayers. God, I praise you. You are a personal God. So you can pray that. Do that. A.W. Tozer said, one of my favorite writers, he said, what comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Think about that. What comes to our mind, what comes to your mind when you think, when I think about God, is the most important thing about us. Because more than likely, that view and that image and what comes to our mind about God shapes us, changes us. Whatever that thought is, it's important. David, great king, great leader, says in Psalm 5, early in the morning, Lord, I will seek your face. Jesus had just spent an entire evening ministering, staying up late, healing. And Mark says that even before, while it was still dark, Jesus was up praying early in the morning. Jesus felt the need, sensed the need to early in the morning get a mindset. Get his mind thinking in a particular way. That phrase that we just talked about, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, last breath he ever took, what was the first? Where did it start? Father. Father. Jesus, his heavenly Father, was on his mind on the cross. The very first word he uttered on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It started with Father. Even Jesus himself on the cross, his thoughts were coming out of his knowledge of his Father. So let's take some moments for this next week and let's just work on this one. Figure out a time, get this handy someplace where you'll see it tomorrow morning and just think about it. And then through the day, like Deuteronomy says, as you go about your day, when you get up, as you walk about, as you sit down to a meal, as you go to bed at night, figure out a way to talk about this. Just have a conversation with your spouse. Ask them, what did that mean to you? Have a little conversation about what it meant that our God is a personal God. Just wait maybe and think and maybe strike up a conversation with your children, your grandchildren. What does it mean that God is personal? And let's just focus on that one tomorrow and then On Tuesday, a giving God. Wednesday, provider God. Thursday, God our shepherd. Friday, God our victory. On Saturday, God's our peace. And then next Sunday, God who heals, saves. Can you imagine what happens in our lives and hearts as we just meditate and think and let that truth sort of marinate into our lives and hearts and minds? What a difference this will make. But you know that passage in Timothy, what gets me excited about this series is not just because of who I'm seeing right now, but because of the generations that Paul saw in Timothy, is those others. I'm thinking about those grandchildren that don't even exist yet. I'm thinking of those children that don't even exist yet. But those children and those grandchildren and those friends are going to be impacted. And they might be walking with God and having a legacy of knowing God through the most difficult, challenging days. They might have a level of enjoyment of walking with the God of all in creation in their lives because of you saying this morning, I'm going to commit to this. I want you, God, to work in me a fresh sense of who you are so that I can pass that on. I can live that out and give it away so that I leave an eternal legacy for the honor and glory of your name and for the good of people that I care deeply about. I've mentioned spouses. I've mentioned children. I also want you to think, is there somebody outside your biological family? Maybe a friend here. Maybe a friend at work. Maybe a neighbor. Maybe a colleague. Who is it that even as I mention those spheres of our life, is God putting somebody on your mind that you love? And it doesn't really matter even where they are in their spiritual journey. You just love them and you want to walk with them and care for them. And you would love for them to know that the God of all creation will help them through their days and that they can enjoy a relationship with him. Who is that? Did a name, did a face come to mind? I encourage you to do this, to let somebody know. And I don't want it to be me. I want you to tell somebody else in your friendship circles here that you're committed to this. Cindy, you're allowed to tell me. But you know, she said, she's the one person that can tell me when she's committed to this. Tell somebody. Your home group leader, just a friend, somebody that you know. You say, I want you to know. This made sense to me. Something stirred in me. I want to commit to this. Would you help me? Would you pray for me? Let's do this together. Tell somebody. Tell somebody you're committed to this process. Next week, Jeff Howard's going to speak. He's going to speak from his walk with Jesus. Perry's going to speak from his. Because they're going to be in this series too. It won't be something I'm telling them. They have to. Jeff's going to bring something fresh from the oven from his life next week. And then the week after that, we're just going to turn this page in this journal, and we're going to look at this one. The person of the Holy Spirit. Who he is. How well do you know who the Holy Spirit is? Somebody once referred to him as the forgotten part of the Trinity. But he has huge impact on my soul and heart. We're going to focus on that in 2 weeks. So let's take a moment and commit this time to him, this adventure, this journey for these next few months. Father, it's absolutely astounding to think that you, who created everything that we see, who is more powerful than we have a clue about, You're just, you're loving, you're eternal. You're the beginning and the end and every moment in between. But that you care about us. And you love us deeply. So, Father, please take these next weeks. We offer them to you. And would you please grow in us a sense of intimacy with you, a knowledge, enjoyment of walking with you. Growing in what it means to love you. That you would help us through these difficult days that we don't even know are out there yet. And Father, when we come to our last day, I pray that there would be just this sense that you have worked and some people are following Jesus. They've heard his invitation and they're following him because of our encouragement. Pray that to be true, Father. Pray that to be so. So, Father, we do lift up Madison and her family in particular. Again, please minister deeply, strongly tomorrow at that Mass. We pray for that priest at St. Teresa's. Father, would you please fill him and use him? Give him the words. Father, bless him with a sense, your presence. And would you please meet that group of people that you love and care so deeply about tomorrow at St. Teresa's in an unmistakable way. Father, draw them to yourself. Bring peace, sense of hope, comfort in the midst of this deep grief. And Father, we bless Christian and Lindsay. Would you please thank you for being a faithful shepherd to them, going ahead of them to Colorado, and paving the way, and meeting them. Give them safety as they travel, and we look forward to hearing what you're up to in their lives. We ask all of this, Father, for the sake of your name. Amen. Do you please stand as we just have a brief benediction? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.